Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
So, Father, we come before you this morning and we say thank you, Father, because you are good and worthy of our praise. Lord, we just give it all to you, Father, that you would be honored this morning. We give it all to you. May you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand and worship.
Church, this is the time when we go to the Lord in prayer for my three. So let's bow in worship. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you and we lift up those that we know, that we love, that are near to our hearts. We just put them before you, Lord. We just pray that you will draw them near to you, and may they seek you, Lord. And we just humbly ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Let's do that again. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ the Lord
and Christ the
through. You lead us through the darkness into your glorious light. Father, we just say thank you that you're so good to us, so worthy of praise. Amen or amen. All right. Good morning. If you're listening on radio or live stream, welcome. You need to come here the next Sunday. That would be awesome. All right, so I'm going to try something a little different this morning. Normally, I have a lot of props, and I have balls up here and ladders, and I try to keep things interesting. So this morning, I tried to do something different. For a lot of you know, my background is this, that I grew up in this church. I grew up right here in I went to school in Mount Carroll, graduated in 1990, and then I went to 4th, 5th, and 6th grade out in Center Hill School, and so that was, it was a school back then. Do you guys remember the school back then? So we got bused out of the country into town, and then they'd have to bus us back to the Center Hill and then bring us back here and then get on another bus. And Jeff, I was dizzy just being a kid, you know, as a bus driver. Thank you. So I graduated again, and we had a high school class of 37 kids. 37 kids. Yeah, I know, you guys are impressed, right? So let me just say this. I am proud to be from a small rural community, and I'll tell you why later. But I have a disclaimer, okay? My disclaimer is this. During my sermon, there will be a loud noise. If you have a pacemaker, you might want to turn it down or something like that or check it. But during my sermon, there will be a loud noise. So you've now been warned, okay? You've been warned. So before I get into the message, let me just pray. Father, we just say thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you that we can come before you this morning and just worship you, Father. And Lord, learn more about who you are and what you've done. So, Father, we just ask that you would just bless my words, that people would hear you and not necessarily me. So, Father, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, something happened to me November 19th, 1987. Okay? That day will always be in my head, and I will tell you why. But before I talk about that, I have some things I want to lead up to that point. So remember that date, though, November 19th, 1987, a pivotal day in my life. So growing up between Savannah and Mount Carroll, my dad was a farmer along with my grandpa and me and three generations of farming the land. I will say this, the minute I smelled diesel fuel, anyone else like diesel fuel, the smell? Oh, come on. It takes me instantly back to when I was running a grain cart for my dad from the combine to the grain bin. See, can you relate to that? Like, running grain carts, harvest is going to be happening here in a couple of months, and running grain carts. And so the smell of diesel takes me instantly back to that. I mean, as a farm kid, you're driving trucks when you're 12, you're driving tractors when you're 10. You just have to do that stuff. A side note, when I went and did my driver's license, because I had been driving for a long time between the lawnmower, tractors, and trucks, I've been driving a long time. My driver instructor over at the DMV in Chadwick almost failed me. And I was like, what? You know what the comment was? I was too comfortable behind the wheel. Now, I didn't turn on the radio and just doing this during my driver's test, but I should have. That would have been fun. But yeah, I was too comfortable behind the wheel, not my 11 and 2. So, growing up on the farm, my dad showed no interest in hunting or fishing. You know, he's farming full-time. But I met two people here in this church that took me under their wing and showed me all about hunting and fishing and trapping. Now, during this time when these two guys took me under their wing, I absolutely fell in love with the outdoors. Absolutely fell in love. I could sit in a deer stand for hours upon hours, but if Dad asked me to go feed the cattle at minus 10 degrees, I don't like that outdoorsman. I like the deer stand guy. Well, these two men showed me how to trap, how to fish, how to hunt. We trapped muskrats and how to set a trap for coyotes and set a trap for beaver and raccoons. They took me gigging for frogs. You guys know gigging for frogs? One of the guys, they would take me gigging and we would have just this massive amount of bullfrogs from the backwaters of the Mississippi. There would be times where we would come home late at night and my mom, being the saint that she is, would actually fry them up right then. So good. So good. A little shore lunch on the legs and, oh man, perfect. These two guys showed me that good sportsmen always check their traps, no matter the conditions. Well, I wanted to be a responsible outdoorsman, so I did. And I think this gentleman here, Ralph Eads. You guys remember Ralph? God bless his soul. He's now watching down. That's him and I, and we went bird hunting, and that's my dog, Raven. So it was a great time to be with Ralph. Ralph and Linda are basically my second set of parents. There's another gentleman, and I love this next picture here. You won't believe it's me, but that actually is me back a long time ago. But another gentleman in this church who's here to this morning showed me how to do a lot more stuff, and his name is Kurt Frederick. And if you see this guy, there he is right there, Kurt Frederick. So we would shoot carps from the bridge with using the recurve bows with the string attached, and we would go gigging late at night. And there was a time where my brother, in 1986, my brother was actually in the hospital at UW Hospital, and my mom and dad were actually up there with him, and so they asked Kurt if he would actually come and stay with me. So Kurt actually graciously said, yeah, sure, I'll come out. And he was basically my live-in nanny. Right, Kurt? Being my nanny, yeah. So, school's in session. And basketball practice had started for the upcoming basketball season, my sophomore year. We had about 3 weeks of practice in, and lo and behold, here I am reaching for the basketball from a friend, from a teammate, and I hear something go. I realize that my right hand ended up having a broken bone in my hand. You know, x-rays confirmed it, but man, talk about the pain. So all of us know Dr. Reese up in Lanark. He put the cast on my hand and arm. But guess what? That means my basketball season is over. My basketball season over. I turned my attention to my trap line. About a week having the cast on, I knew that I had traps out on the farmland that needed checking. So I jumped into the rusty old truck. When I say rusty old truck, I literally mean rusty old truck. You could literally see the road through the floorboards. That's a rusty old truck. But they didn't exactly have the laws back then. So I jump into the truck. And remember, it's November. It's cold. It's dark. And I only have one hand because this hand's in a cast. So I jump in the truck, go down, and if you know where we live on a big bluff, and we have a river that, what is that river, the Wakarusha, that goes in Point Rock Park. And so the river butts up to our land, and so I park in the field and get down in there and start checking my traps. No beaver, no coyote, nothing. So I had my 22 rifle, but I didn't have a need for it to use it. But I carried it with me. So in one hand, I was carrying a flashlight, a rifle, and I had caught actually a muskrat. If you guys know what a muskrat is, it is not a pretty animal. But you know, back then they brought, you know, five or ten bucks, something like that, in the fur market. I apologize if I offend anyone with talking about the fur market. So, but that's how people made their money back then. And so before synthetic fibers came along. So anyway, so I had a muskrat in a trap because I couldn't get the muskrat out of the trap because of my hand. So I'm carrying the rifle, the muskrat in the trap, my flashlight, I'm in my chest waders, and I start walking back to the truck. I mean, it's cold, it's dark, and I'm like ready to go home to a nice warm house. And I come to a fence. Well, in hunter safety, you never, Larry and Jeannie, correct me if I'm wrong here, you never cross a fence with a gun in your hand, right? So I put the gun over the fence on against a bush and put the trap and muskrat and the flashlight and got it all over, and I'm in hip waders and a lot of clothing, so I'm across the fence. You don't want to rip hip waders. That would be a bad thing. So I go to pick up my muskrat with the trap. I go ahead and pick up the flashlight and gather my stuff, and then I pull the rifle out of the bush. Bam! I warned you. The rifle, the impact of a bullet actually got me, because I had made the dumb decision of pulling it towards me, barrel first. Well, the bullet impact threw me over the bank of the river, and I landed with my feet actually touching the river. I don't remember feeling pain because of being in shock, but I remember what just happened, and I just started screaming. When you watch these old Western movies or these cop shows, when they get shot, they are not representing what really happens when you accidentally shoot yourself. They think, oh, I can keep on going. No. In real life, you cannot. So I just started screaming. I'm cold. It's dark. And I'm alone. And this is way before cell phones. And I'm laying right next to the river. Looking at the timeline, looking back, we figured that my dad actually got into the truck about the same time that the gun went off. My dad was coming down to check because he knew of my broken hand and he knew where my trap line was, and thankfully, he came down. So if you know our property, we live on a huge bluff. And at the bottom of the bluff is the field that butts up with the river, and so that's where we park our trucks. And as I'm laying there, I actually hear my dad coming down the hill, or at least a truck coming down the hill. I didn't realize it was my dad at the time, but he runs over. After he parks, I hear the door slam, and I just start screaming for my dad. Just start screaming for my dad. He runs over. He doesn't know exactly what's happened, how bad my injuries are, but he prays over me, and then he has to do the hardest thing he ever had to do. He had to leave me. Again, no cell phones. He actually had to leave his child to go back up to the house to call the ambulance. I mean, he was gunning through the field, going up the hill, and called the ambulance. So the ambulance call went out. And this is the funniest thing is everyone and their brother back then had a police scanner. So everyone knew that something was happening at the Bruner household because of that police scanner. There's one person, he wasn't on duty, but he came out anyway because he heard about it. His name, Denny Acey. Because of the police scanners, all these other neighbors started showing up as well. They actually beat the ambulance because it was coming from Savannah. So three more neighbors came out and showed up and asked what they could do. So the ambulance crew finally got there. Dad got them to where they needed to be. They came right into the field. And they were like, here I am laying down in the riverbank with my feet touching the water yet. It's muddy, you know, it's cold, dark, all that. And they are like, how do we get you out of there? Well, thankfully, Denny Acey took charge. It was nice to have him in my corner. So he actually, with the neighbor's help, grabbed the board out of the ambulance, got down on the riverbank, got me onto it. Again, they didn't know the extent of my injuries. They had no clue. They just knew what happened. They did not know that I'd actually, you know, that I was bleeding, or they didn't have any idea because I was bundled up with clothing and chest waders and all that fun stuff. So anyway, so with Denny and the neighbors' help, they get down to the riverbank, get me on the board, get me my head strapped in because, again, they didn't know injuries. And for about 10 minutes, they slided, and crawled my board up into the ambulance because of the conditions. And so I will always be grateful for Denny for taking charge of that. It had to have been a sight, though. They get me actually to the Savannah Hospital, back when the Savannah Hospital was actually a hospital. But as I'm riding in the ambulance from the field to the hospital, I am in full pain mode and just screaming because my nerves were a wreck and lots of pain. Going crazy, you know. So they rip off my clothes in the ER and already had to call the helicopter from St. Anthony's Hospital. It had to have been a sight. Here I am laying naked on the ER table with a cast on this arm. They start the tube down my throat. They get the IV started. And then we wait. We wait for the helicopter. Now, I vaguely remember this. True story. I vaguely remember getting wheeled out on the stretcher and getting put into the helicopter. I also noticed another thing. There was a cute nurse on the helicopter crew. I mean, I was 15. What do you expect? 15. Hormones going crazy. So the helicopter goes off and heading to St. Anthony's Hospital in Rockford. And at the time, George Reeser was our pastor here at the church. And again, remember, this is my home church. So he tells me afterwards that he actually got a speeding ticket going to St. Anthony's Hospital on, you know, chasing after me. So I'm like, you know, whoever that police officer was, I'd like to have a talk with him. But again, he's off going off to the hospital. Mom and Dad are making phone calls. They're trying to get everything figured out. And remember, they had been in the hospital up in Madison with my brother. And now, not 6 months later, I do this. And so they have an hour and a half drive to get to St. Anthony's Hospital. They, you know, they have no idea if I'm going to be alive when they get there. They have no idea if I'm going to be, you know, partially paralyzed or fully paralyzed. They have no clue. Thankfully, as you can see, I made it. So I spent hours in surgery at St. Anthony's where they did exploratory surgery. There was no exit wound from the bullet. When the bullet entered my body, it actually hit my rib cage and broke apart. So they had to find all of the fragments to the bullet inside me somewhere. So this is a 22 rifle bullet right here. And the only thing that goes into your body is this little piece of lead at the top. And that's what I had going into my body at a high rate of speed. But I drank a lot of milk. So that's why the bullet broke off. So you got to remember that. Drink milk. So they did all this exploratory surgery. They had to repair my bladder and my large intestine. And they had to a bunch of other things they had to get back in place. And they left two different fragments still in me. I still have two little fragments of the bullet still in me because it's so close to my spinal cord that the doctors did not actually feel comfortable trying to extract it. So I always thought, oh, cool, I'll be able to set off alarms at the airport security, but I don't get to because it's lead, not steel. So anyway, so I still have two fragments in me. So fast forward, I spent 1.5 months at St. Anthony's Hospital through prayers and visits and people blessing my parents with hospitality in Rockford and so many other blessings, I was starting to get better. Well, my parents made the mistake of getting me a remote-controlled car for Christmas. So I would actually be laying in my bed in the hospital, and I would have that remote-controlled car, and I would have it go out and out in the hallway without knowing where it was going. I would have nurses and doctors bring me back my car. I did it so often that they would threaten to hold my pain meds if I did it more often. So they were having a good time with it too. So let me just say this. I'm not saying this to brown nose with my mom, but I was to say this. My parents were the best. They never left my side. Everything that I went through, they were there. They just spent the time in Madison, and now they're spending the time with me. And this is why I love small towns. Because when the neighbors rally, you know, Dad was up in Rockford with me. Chores had to get done. Cattle had to get fed. Pigs had to get fed. And our neighbors stepped up and helped out as best they could. And that's why I love small town. We had the good fortune of knowing Lori Handel, actually who is now Lori Whitmus. And she let my mom and dad stay at her place. She lived in Rockford at the time. And you guys remember Lori Handel? Some of you? Anyway, she became a dear friend to us and a dear friend to the family. So I thank her for everything that she did. So I was paralyzed for at least a month where I couldn't move my legs. My nerves and my muscles were all affected by the bullet. But it was time to say goodbye to St. Anthony's Hospital and say hello to Rockford Memorial Hospital to start physical therapy and occupational therapy. Through hard work and pain and sweat and tears, I had to learn how to walk. I had to learn how to run. I had to learn how to stand on 2 feet with balance. I had to learn all these things. Here I was, an active sports guru guy, and I had to learn basic stuff. So I started with a walker. And then I finally got to a cane. And then I finally was able to walk without any assistance. I'm pretty good at walking, right? So anyway, the point is, I mean, I fell a lot. Let me just say that again. I fell a lot. I was tripping over my own feet because you got to remember, I was laying in a bed. And as you lay in a bed for a long period, your muscles start to atrophy and you lose stuff. And so through the course of physical therapy, I was able to get going. So a month and a half of physical therapy and occupational therapy, I was finally able to walk out of the hospital to come home for good. So before I close, I know a lot of you have never heard my full testimony like that. And I wanted to share that this morning. But before I close this morning, I do want to say one thing. I have high regard for first responders. I do. I think what they do and what the knowledge that they have is amazing. And I know with Denny, he never wants any glory. But I will say thank you so much to Denny. So as a kid who had gone to church all my life, I had a lot of questions about why God let this happen. So many times when bad things happen, we always say, well, God could have stopped it. God could have done something. Why did God allow this to happen? Occasionally, I'll still get on my pity horse and ride it for a short time. I mean, I have a scar on my belly and on my back to remind me of this fateful day. So I'll always be able to remember that day. But looking back over my ordeal, I can't blame God. Oh, I want to, but I don't. I can't blame God for what happened to me. It was my choice to do what I did. I made the bad decision with the gun, and I paid for it. See, God gives us free will, and because of that, we get to make decisions, good or bad. God is not a dictator, but a loving and gentle Father that is there when we call. And I know that because God is not a dictator, if we ask Him to leave our school systems, guess what? He leaves. If we ask Him to leave the government, guess what? He leaves. If we ask Him to leave our home, He's a gentleman and He'll leave, but He's just a call away. I think it's time, here's my soapbox, it's time to bring God back into our school system. I mean, video after video after video are proof that we need to bring God back into our schools. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. So now here I am, married to the most beautiful woman in the world, and I have the most amazing daughter. Hopefully my wife is watching and heard that. So one of the scriptures that I cling to is this. It's from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says this in the Christian Standard Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. But the next one is in all of your ways know Him, and He will make your path straight. In the NIV version, it says this, just a little bit different. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So let me say this. Through my accident and being paralyzed and learning more about your body as the doctors and nurses have to talk to you about it, I can honestly say that my shooting accident helped define who I am today. Looking at the scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, I will be the first to say this. I had no intention of ever coming back to this area, to Carroll County. I had no intentions of ever being back at the church. I had no intentions of ever being a pastor. But as I trust God, He made those ways straight for me. And here I am. You're stuck with me now. No intentions of being a worship leader, no intentions of being an associate pastor. I mean, but yet, if you rely on your own abilities, you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, guys, we try to get by with our strength, you know. We can fix anything. We can do anything. And yet, how many times do we muff it up? But if we do this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own strength. I say strength here. But go to that next slide there. In all of your ways, so in everything that you do, just lay it at the Lord's feet. Everything that you are, just lay it at his feet. You don't have to prove anything, and he will carry you through. He will guide you. But you have to get out of your own way. Okay? You have to get out of your own way. Hopefully, you guys know this scripture and that you guys, again, it's gotten me through a lot of things. But God never promises life to be easy. If we are a Christian, wouldn't we want him to be in our corner so that when life gives you a curveball, you have someone that is greater than the problem in your life? I pray this morning that you fully trust God, that you don't lean on your own strength, and you submit to him. And God will come through for you just like God did for me. So let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning thanking you for your goodness and your grace on us. We thank you that we can trust you no matter what situation we are in or whatever life throws at us. You are our provider and our comforter. And we pray that you will guide us in all circumstances, Lord. We trust you from this day forward. We look forward to you and not try to solve everything on our own. Thank you, Father, for your guidance and making our paths straight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing this last song. In life, we can be affected by one little thing. Maybe not a bullet, but something else. Maybe something from your past. It just takes one little thing. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will make your path straight. God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.